This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, November 1, 2023. The Solemnity of All Saints by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This is an interesting day when it comes to liturgical solemnities. Usually on solemnities, and this one, rightfully so, you can speak a whole lot about dogmatic theology, the theories of why we believe and what we believe. But on this day in particular, there is a very practical theological way that we need to approach this. Practical theology, in contrast to dogmatic theology, practical theology speaks as how dogmatic theology or the theories of our faith kind of work into the practice of our faith. There are tons of people, it's a theological term, tons of people who believe differently than we do, call themselves Christians, but they completely ignore and are quite belligerent toward those of us who pay attention to the communion of the saints. They're at a loss because venerating the communion of the saints is a very, very practical thing. It is very practical, and it is an absolute conformity with what we believe theoretically about our faith. You say, you can talk all day long about the theory behind the communion of the saints, but let's look at it today from a very practical standpoint. Why do we venerate the saints? And are we doing something wrong if we do? Because, again, tons of people say that we do something wrong. Why do we do this, practically speaking? Point one, the saints are the friends of God. This is a very simple proposition. The saints are the friends of God. The friends of God, God places in high positions of honor. Our Blessed Virgin Mother. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. She gets the Annunciation. She's going to be the Mother of God. And in her Magnificat, from henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. People in this world are going to call her blessed because of her friendship with God. And for her, friendship with God is a gross understatement. But she's going to be venerated here from generation to generation because she's a friend of God. The reverence we pay to the Blessed Virgin Mother or any other saints over whom she is queen, we pay them this reverence because what God has done in them, what the Holy Spirit has done, their lives of faith are a trophy for what the Holy Spirit has done with them. So the reverence that paid to them is ultimately paid to God. So we don't do him any disservice at all when we venerate the saints, because we're venerating those through whom our Lord has worked in this world. And God himself tells us that they're going to be held in honor. John chapter 12, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. If any man minister to me, let him follow me. Where I am, there also shall my minister be. If any man minister to me, him will my Father honor. It's not going to be some secret honor that happens in heaven that nobody knows, just like the Blessed Virgin, who is honored from generation to generation in this world, or ought to be. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that the Father will honor those who live in accord with his will, both in this world and in the next. But it is a very practical thing to venerate those whom we know are God's friends. So, the saints are the friends of God. We should treat them accordingly. In this world, when somebody does something for us, something good, we owe them. We owe them. We owe our benefactors. Okay? We owe them our prayers. We owe them favors in this world. If they've gone out of their way to do something for you, you should go out of your way to do something for them. They're benefactors. The saints are our benefactors. Now, I don't think we think about that in those terms a lot. Well, how's the saints my benefactor? They live a long time ago. They're just a few of them. If you hang out here more than a couple weeks, you're going to hear the name St. Augustine from this pulpit cited several times. St. Augustine this, St. Augustine said that, St. Augustine did that. St. Augustine laid the foundation of what we understand about our theology. He's a benefactor. We benefit from that. He set the stage. Protestants love St. Augustine. Everybody loves him. He's that influential. He's that influential. He's our benefactor. We benefit from what he did centuries ago. Now, there are saints that are almost single-handedly given credit for the conversion of entire nations. St. Boniface, he's a saint of Germany. Through his work, Germany, for all intent and purposes, loaded up with pagan, vicious tribes at the time, become Christian because of St. Boniface. The people in Germany owe St. Boniface. And not that he hasn't done good things for us also. St. Ignatius Loyola, during the so-called Reformation, all this heretical statements being made by this arch-heretic, that arch-heretic, and all their heretical followers. And St. Ignatius Loyola is raised up by the Holy Spirit to defend our faith. Not only defend our faith, but to articulate it in a way that was much more precise than it had been up to that time, confronting the denigrations of the faith. This is St. Ignatius Loyola. We owe him. God always raises up men and women to be saints in this world, to be the benefactors of his people. We can see it in our very day. Pointed out St. Ignatius Loyola defending our faith. You have saintly men, not a saint yet, but he's working on it. Saintly men like Bishop Athanasius Schneider writing a book that brings the teachings of the Catechism, the Council of Trent, which the groundwork was laid by St. Ignatius Loyola. And he presents it in a way that is very, very pointed and very, very applicable and relevant to our world and the problems that we're having in the world and in the church right now. He addresses those. God always raises up these men and women to be our benefactors. It is a very practical thing to act like we owe them something because we do owe them something. And if the best we can do is our veneration, so be it. This is the saints being our benefactors. We obtain grace through the saints. We just obtained grace through Jesus Christ. Yes, we do. He is the fountain of all the graces. And then the channel of those graces is the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the work of those graces is manifest to us by our benefactors, the saints who are the friends of God. We obtain graces from them. It is not something practical that we came up with a few hundred years after the church was founded. The scriptures teach us about the benefits of the graces through the saints. You see, in the Old Testament, we see Joseph, when his brothers are going to kill him, they sell him into slavery, and he's sold to a particular individual, Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. And we know from Scripture that through Joseph, the Lord blessed the house of the Egyptian for Joseph's sake and multiplied all his substance. This is a guy who's still alive in this world. He's still working through his salvation and everything, and God gives graces to Potiphar's house, blesses all that he has because of the patriarch Joseph. Well, he was alive. We don't pray for dead people. Really? 2 Maccabees, chapter 15. The Maccabees are confronted with the pagan armies, the Greeks, and it looks like they are going to be overwhelmed from any human perspective. They are going to be overwhelmed. They are so few. And even the few men that they have are starting to cower. And Judas Maccabeus goes and prays, and he prays hard. And there appears to him in a vision a recently deceased priest, Ananias by name. And Ananias gives Judas Maccabeus some words of encouragement. And if that wasn't enough, Ananias points to another individual standing there with him. And the scriptures say, "And then also appeared another man, admirable for age and glory and environed with great beauty and majesty. This is he that prays much for the people of God and for all of the holy city, Jeremiah, the prophet of God." Jeremiah had been dead for years and years and years, and he manifests as being the one who prays for the people of God. And after this, the forces of the Maccabees put to rout the pagan Greek armies. These are graces that are given to us by the saints who are dead. Dead in our eyes, but alive to God and being continuously honored by God, continually be given graces by God to share with us in this world. They are our benefactors because they're his friends, and they never cease to be his friends. This is the practical nature of the communion of the saints. We do it because it's a very practical thing, not because it's a theoretical thing. I would say first and foremost, it's the practicality. This is why we should ask for their intercession, because it's not a matter of just asking for things we know because they are the friends of God. We are going to receive an answer, not in accord with our will, maybe, but in accord with the will of God. This is the practical nature of the communion of the saints. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.